Hi, and welcome to Revision Media here tonight with me, Paul Stevenson. I'll be with you here. Sorry, we're running a bit late with a few technical problems, but I'll be with you here through for till 9 p.m. here in the UK. That's up until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome wherever you are around the world. I just want to get to it. We've had more lockdowns over here right across the country. We have different lockdowns, and you know, this is another issue. I don't think we'll have time to get to it tonight, but it's an interesting sort of development. It's a can of worms, really, and it's an ideological can of worms with what's happening in the UK, because you have Scotland making their own rules, you have Northern Ireland making their own rules, you have mayors making their own rules for their cities, you have Scotland talking about closing the borders to England to stop the flow of people in and out, you've got Wales who have actually said that they are stopping it. And I'm not sure. I don't think this is something that the UK should be allowing. We are one, and while you know, in the States, there you have, you know, it was supposed to be the states were autonomous, and then you had the federal government for wider issues like national security and that type of thing, and then the federal government just got out of control. You're almost seeing, you know, they call it devolution, and in one sense I'm kind of philosophically ideologically for that, but we are a United Kingdom, and I'm wondering about the legality of it, because the United Kingdom, unlike the United States or even Europe, is a pretty small place. I mean, you could fit the UK into California probably about five times. Maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but I think you can fit it into California probably two or three. Anyway, it's a small place, and you've got these little despots in Scotland and Nicola Sturgeon, and Wales the same, and you know, they've got their own system there, and you've got Sadiq Khan in London, you know, who's too overblown in his own power, and then you've got these problems with the mayor in Manchester, who I generally agree with because he's been pushing back in these lockdowns, but they are not independent, like as far as I understand it, in as far as if they make the rules, then they you know, should take the consequences. In other words, they do cost-benefit analysis. The problem is we have Scotland making these rules as if Scotland's going to sort of, you know, as if it's his own country. The reality is these people make these rules for Scotland or the mayor of London. But where does the money come from when they say, oh, we need money? And that's what it's all about. This country is riddled with socialists. Northern Ireland are largely socialist. Their economies are not great. And I think the problem is that you're seeing a lot of these little despots who are pretending that and amplifying the problem of coronavirus so that they can get more money from the governments. And they're acting as if they're independent. Well, if you want to shut down or not shut down or whatever you do, if you want to shut down, then you know, you cannot then sort of say, well, act as if Wales or Scotland or London are independent of the UK, and then ask the UK, the broader UK taxpayer, to pay for it all, as far as I can say. I mean, but this is something I've only, you know, really started thinking about in the last sort of couple of days. And I don't think we need mayors in this country. Manchester is not that big a place to have a mayor for Manchester or London, because all Sadiq Khan has done is wrecked London, and I think he's got very rich off doing it. And I suspect and I hope that down in the years to come we see some of the, I suspect, fully suspect shady business that he's been conducting in from lobby groups to wreck London. I hope that some of those private bank accounts he has get exposed, because I'm pretty sure that's what's happening, because this guy cannot wait to get London locked down and then he asks for more money, and he has resided over one of the most lawless periods in London's history, and quite frankly is probably in all of politics in this country is one of the most unscrupulous little untalented uncharismatic little weasel scumbags that I have ever had the misfortune of ever having to lay eyes on or listen to. I mean, the guy can barely string a sentence together, but he happens to be one of the most obnoxiously, odiously arrogant people that I've ever met. And he's from Pakistan. These people come over here, they're born, they're second generation, they come over here in the 70s. We don't need these people in this country. It has not served our country well for the most part. Anyway, I'm not going to digress into immigration, but more lockdowns over here. The guy in Manchester had, up to some up there, had become somewhat of a hero. But, you know, I think he should have just stood his ground and said, we're not locking down. And I am the mayor. And if he wants to go down that route, then he should command his police not to harass people for staying open. instead of saying, "Oh, well, we're not locking down unless you give us X, Y, and Z money," because then, you know, you're open to think, well, you know, you can understand that you're thinking, okay, if you're going to threaten to, you know, close us down, then we need some money. But then you can also think, well, why don't you just be really principled and say, we're not shutting down and we'll take what consequences are coming to us from the state. And then you would have a situation where you would have a real stand instead of, you know, bartering with and haggling with the government for an extra 5 million. Because they wanted 65 million, the government would only give them 60. And where is this money coming from? This is just an economic bypass. This is destroying the economy. The labor idiots over here, and unfortunately, our country has become increasingly run by university politic type people. You know, these people went from university, they studied Marxism, and they came out and they were in little cushy little jobs, career politicians. They took these idealistic views. A lot of our journalists are like that as well. They went into The Guardian, they went into LBC Radio, James O'Brien, these types of people. They ended up, they never really shifted because they probably never really had to in many ways, because they always had money in their pocket from their little public sector jobs. And they were able to afford to live in their little Marxist bubbles and their little arrested development of a first or a second year university student, and that has been taken into our political arena and taken into right across all the institutions. The political institutions, the academic institutions, the judicial institutions, you name it, riddled with Marxist ideologies and naive arseholes who never grew up and seem to think that that's the way to run the country, and they're destroying the country. So we have half the population, roughly, who want to continue these lockdowns and want more severe lockdowns. And I think you've basically got half the population who have been deceived and bribed, basically. It's probably, I don't know, half and half, whatever. Between those two things, in a way, I think is what's driving. And, of course, the mass hysteria. So you could probably, between mass hysteria and actually scaring people genuinely, who never look at the data and just keep looking at BBC News and Sky News, who are obviously amplifying and manipulating the figures and are very selective with how they present those figures, and the scientists who the government are informed by and everything else. The government only seem to be interested in listening to the scientists, who conveniently are affirming and encouraging them to be dictators and exercise their authorities and, you know, to implement these draconian measures. And as I say, you've got a lot of people who are deceived and scared, and you've got a lot of people who realize that it's easier if you're in a public sector job to sit at home and still get paid. And then the rest of the people, i.e. the private sector who pays the taxes for these clowns, they're getting destroyed, and the country is getting destroyed. This is controlled demolition. If you think about what, if you took away this virus and took it away, because it's not really a problem. And it never really was. If you just ignored that and then you look at what's happening, it's a seismic and it's, in my opinion, a deliberate restructuring of society as we know it, because they want to go into this next phase, which is this global socialist, green new energy, third green industrial revolution utopia, which will be just a communist, global socialist communist hellhole, really. 1984... it won't even come close, but, you know, that's pretty much where we're headed. It's going to be the China model for the rest of the world. That's what they want. That's what the conditioning is about. I think they're using this to make us more like little Chinese people who always wear masks and do what they're told and have the state with cameras on them everywhere, monitoring everything they do. We've had a police state here for a while, but this is just a new level of it. This is just an acceleration of everything, of the way the trends were going anyway. Big Brother, digital currencies, you know, cashless society, an expansion of global powers, big global bureaucratic systems like the IMF, like the World Bank, like the WHO, the World Economic Forum, who talk about the Great Reset. And all this has done is accelerated. Isn't that convenient? That they had a virus that came along to accelerate what they've wanted all along. And make no mistake about it, we are being conditioned with the mask wearing, with compliance to the state, with increased intrusion in our our lives, what we do, who we do it with, when we do it, where we do it. This is what the, this is how the Chinese live. And the Chinese are, I have been predicted for a long time to be the next superpower for the 21st century. And it seems that the Jewish bankers and the synagogue of Satan has sucked America dry and is ready to bounce over to China for its next phase. It was the British Empire before that, then it went to the United States, and now it's going over to China. And the China model will be what they want for all of us. And that's why I think you're seeing that this is, you know, and it's tragic to see that there is so much coordination now on a global level that they're able to get pretty much the whole world to buy into this BS with the coronavirus. So there's a lot more going on here than incompetence. This is coordinated, in my opinion. Nobody could be that stupid. As stupid as Matt Hancock looks, I don't think he is that stupid. He's just a little creep on the payroll, and he's just a little puppet like the rest of them. As Boris Johnson, this is an article on Lou Rockwell, announces Britain's Great Reset, where the COVID, quote, conspiracy theorists, unquote, right all along. And by the way, you will, many of you will have probably noticed this increasing narrative and this exposure of this digital currency recently, these Fed wallets. And I'm sure we'll over here have our Bank of England wallets. Or by that stage, maybe it's just to be an IMF wallet, or maybe the Fed will just be a Fed wallet for everybody in the world, where they're just going to cut out the governments now for, that's where we're headed in terms of payments and stimulus direct into your pocket straight from the central bank. So this is just a bigger power grab where the central banks are essentially increasing their control and power over everyone, including even the government, just like they can stop the facade with the government and just cut out the government. If you go to Real Vision, Raoul Paul, that's Real Vision on YouTube, you will see a video he did on this very recently. He's a Bitcoin guy as well. I don't know enough about Bitcoin to know. I mean, I listen to Peter Schiff. He's dead against it. I hear some other guys think Bitcoin's the future. But regardless, this blockchain technology and this digital currency that the Federal Reserve and the IMF are talking about now, and it's, you know, they're less, what's the word? They're not clandestine about it anymore. This is now part of the discussion. And it's fascinating, really, as much as it is tragic, because this really will be an acceleration of 1984. And it'll be done, of course, under the guise of benevolence, by giving people money when they need it and stuff. And, you know, UBI, universal basic income and all that. This is where it's headed. So in Lou Rockwell's article here, he says, is the great reset where the COVID conspiracy theorists, in quotes, he put the conspiracy theorists right all along. The UK Prime Minister's remote speech to his party conference saw him dismiss the idea of returning to normality. This was maybe about 10, 12 days ago. I meant to cover this a couple of weeks ago, and I got sidelined. Is he using COVID-19 to follow the World Economics Forum's Great Reset agenda, as many have warned? It's not really about public health or a virus. They have another agenda. That's what the so-called, quote, conspiracy theorists have been saying since March. This is what I've been saying. This is what many of us have been saying. We are the conspiracy theorists. When the British first British lockdowns were imposed and our lives were turned upside down, as I said, this is basically controlled demolition of our societies and our economies and our industries and our lives as we know it and our futures. Those conspiracy theorists were denounced, as always, as, quote, cranks and, quote, flat earthers or lizard people, you know, or whatever, or people who listen to lizard people. But here we are in October, and let's face it, there's absolutely no sign, despite very low numbers of deaths with coronavirus, and he has with in quotes, that we are returning to anything like normal. In fact, in his keynote speech yesterday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson specifically ruled out a return to normal, not even with a vaccine. After all, he says, we have been through, it isn't enough just to go back to normal. We have lost too much. History teaches us that things of this magnitude, wars, famines, plagues, events that affect the vast bulk of humanity, as this virus has, No, it hasn't, Boris. It's the government's response to it. And this is the great elephant in the room, really, isn't it? And, you know, it's sad that so many people don't see that. You know, even people, you know, I think a lot of people by this stage could, you know, they're thinking, okay, well, maybe we could have given you the benefit of the doubt at the start. But really, the damage was done back then. There was no justification for a lockdown ever at all. The damage was done then because the economy is already fragile. And it couldn't withstand even a month of lockdown. Not really. But to be continuing this nonsense now with lockdowns, more and more people, the penny's dropping, you know. And unfortunately, it's too late because they've got their powers, the emergency powers bill and what they can do. So they don't give a damn. They can do what they want. They can spout all the BS about figures and they don't really care because the damage is done because we give away the powers because out of fear in the first instance and a knee-jerk reaction, just like the Patriot Act and other restrictions that came in as a result of terrorist attacks and 9/11 and all that. They scare people and they play into their primal fears and then they get the security or they take away freedoms in the name of security and you never get them back and it's a nightmare and things have changed and they have irrevocably changed. And this little scumbag Johnson talks about, you know, wars, famines, plagues, events that affect the vast bulk of humanity as the virus has. I wonder just how many of these plagues, you know, famines and wars down through history were nothing to do with famines, wars and history or any of these other things either. There are, you know, how many of things have been engineered down through history? Probably 95% of them. The other 5% probably been just crises that have taken advantage of. As this virus has, they do not just come and go. They can be the trigger for economic and social change. So he's saying that, you know, like a lot of people, this is a trigger for, you know, economic and social change. He's trying to sell the idea to you that, you know, they're trying to break it to you that, you know, what's coming. This writer says, when I heard Johnson utter those words, like myself when I heard it, where have I heard this stuff before? Well, the answer is in the book, quote, COVID-19, The Great Reset, by Klaus Schwab, the executive chairman of the Economic Forum, and Terry Malaret. They too, like Johnson, invoked the Second World War as the trigger for fundamental changes, not only to the global order and global economy, but to society and the way human beings interact with one another. Like Johnson, they don't want to return to normal. Quote, many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never, unquote. Instead, Schwab and Malaret want a world change forever by a virus which they admit is only mild compared to others in history. COVID-19 is seen as the catalyst for the fourth industrial revolution. This is language that Boris Johnson used, the fourth industrial revolution. So are we conspiracy theorists or is the World Economic Forum have you know, a lot more influence over Boris Johnson and our governments than many of us out there, many of you out there, care to acknowledge. As to where else is heading, I recommend you read Schwab's Great Reset and his earlier, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, but please don't do so late at night because they will probably give you nightmares. Schwab's elitist Davos man utopia is a transhuman, socially distant, utterly soulless dystopia for the rest of us. Think of the most terrifying sci-fi film you've ever watched, and that still doesn't go anywhere near it. And the worst thing is that it is sold to us as some kind of progressive vision. So basically, just reiterating what I said earlier. Johnson in his speech. So this is all this is doing is just accelerating everything. So it's quite clear to me that that's what this is all about. It's just to accelerate the probably thing. Unless that we need something to just to push all this forward because it's maybe taking too long. We need to get this whole ball rolling and get into this next phase of our agenda. And this is what the coronavirus has done, basically. Johnson in his speech yesterday showed he's a fully signed up, quote, great resetter. It was for me the most chilling oration ever made by a British Prime Minister at a party conference. Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people really realize this. They're not aware of the World Economic Forum. They're not aware of these types of things when they're listening to him. But this is quite clearly what he's affirming. That this reveals, this is confirmation to me of what is happening. The man who justified a national lockdown in March on a purely temporary 3-week basis to, quote, flatten the curve, a curve which had gone down, by the way, before had started, had already peaked and was on the way back down again before we even went into lockdown. It's very rarely mentioned in the media. And, quote, protect the NHS, unquote. And who said in the summer after the lockdown had lasted 3 months that he had hoped Britain would return to significant normality by November. He now tells us, quote, we have been through too much frustration and hardship just to settle for the status quo, to think that life can go on as it was before the plague, and it will not. We are resolving not to go back to 2019. And I spoke to Richard, my producer here, back in, I think, June, and I said, or July, and I said, I think we'll be back down in lockdown by September. It'll be a longer lockdown. It'll either be based on them just pushing through regardless, or they might actually release something which is actually a genuine threat, and it'll go on for longer. And by the time next spring comes, 2019 will be a distant memory. We'll be, the population will be so conditioned to wearing masks, to the state running amok over their civil liberties, interfering in their lives, and they will have been conditioned to it, and people will have accepted it, and we're going to be living in a very different world, just like that, in the blink of an eye, basically. Not because of a virus, but just because the government have just done it. And there's governments all over the world have done it. And the sad thing is that so many of the people have just accepted it. They've been primed for this over decades. And so many people are so willing to have the government come into their lives and tell them what to do and call for it. And are, you know, not only fall for it, but call for it. Tell us what to do. I mean, the only criticism is the ambiguity. Oh, they keep changing their mind. They said, you know, we can have 6 people in a group. Oh, now they're saying 8. And they're saying we can group meet outside. But they're never criticizing the fact that the government's interfering and shouldn't be having this role anyway. Like we're little children. And of course, the people who are pushing this sort of stuff and who participate in this nonsense, again, they are the types, the Marxist types, who never grew up, who never developed beyond that 19, 20-year-old mindset of university where there's committing idolatry in the state. A Christian nation would never do this. Because it's idolatry. It's dependency on the state for the direction of your life. Christians, they have God for that. You wouldn't know that by a lot of Christians, by the way, either. They're just indulging in some sort of pantomime of Christianity where actually Matt Hancock and a virus really dictates to them, so they do the same thing, and then they make excuses for themselves so they can sleep better at night or think somehow that they're still in God's good grace. Well, you know, Jesus did say to a lot of Christians, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do many great things and great in your name? And I will tell them on that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And I think there's a lot of people, Christians, who think they're Christians and they don't know the Lord. They think they do, and we're all flawed. We all have periods of Christians where we backslide, where we're disobedient, where we deserve the Lord's chastening and all of that. But there's just this fundamental, I don't know where it's, ignorance, apathy, indifference, just fear, whatever, but you will know them by their fruits. And the church, for the most part, has been a disgrace in all this. Wearing masks, social distancing, doing everything that the state wants to do. They lock down. No singing, because the state said so. Spineless clowns, most of them. Tremendous irritation they must be to the Lord if they're that irritating to me. And I suppose the Lord's more gracious and patient than I am, but they stand for nothing and they fall for everything. But anyway, this is what happens, I believe. When you know this, these are the, these, this is the result of having this mindset that you that the state should be telling you what to do and when to do it and welcoming that. And then when they've destroyed your jobs, then, oh, well, save us from the economic devastation that, that the virus has caused. It's just complete dependency on the state by grown adults. What has this country become? What has the West become? Where is the discernment? The article goes on. For Johnson, using the globalist phrase, quote, build back better. And this of course, is typical of communism, because if you're communism has to destroy what's already there, and then it builds and then it rebuilds it, and it's on communist 1984 authoritarian image. And this all ties into what we've seen with all this Marxist stuff, Black Lives Matter, all this cultural Marxist stuff, equality, diversity, tearing down statues, criticizing Western culture, all of it is all tying into this whole thing. Build back better, yeah. Build what back? Well, we've destroyed it, so we're going to build back. At least they acknowledge they've destroyed it. You can't build back something if you haven't destroyed it. So Johnson, of course, is just another globalist puppet. Not actually that dissimilar to the worshipped clown that he worshipped in Winston Churchill. He was another puppet of the Jewish bankers and the Zionists, and is somehow hailed in this country. For taking us into a war and killing thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that didn't need to die. Another social restructuring operation. But anyway, so Johnson's just, you know, another little lackey following in the footsteps of all the little lackeys that have gone before. So Johnson, using the globalist phrase, build back better, this is the time to launch Britain on the, quote, fourth industrial revolution. This is the language Johnson used. And all the little greenies out there, oh, this is great, you know. We're going to have lots of windmills. Well, we'll all just like have jobs in windmill factories. And the climate change people. This is, again, just another front, another facade, just a mask. It's an all Marxist organization with a mask on it, pretending they care about the environment. And it's all just part of this global socialist communist takeover. The fourth industrial revolution, it's called. Johnson went on to say, from internet shopping, oh, how wonderful is that, to working from home, it looks as though COVID has massively accelerated changes in the world of work. No, COVID didn't do that, Johnson. You did that. Your government did that at the behest of your handlers. As old jobs are lost and as new ones are created, well, not going to be created by you. They're supposed to be created by entrepreneurs, not governments. The COVID crisis is a catalyst for change, he said. Did Schwab actually write this speech? The writer here says, it looks like it. Although Johnson didn't use the phrase the fourth industrial revolution, he did mention, I was thinking that actually, he did. He used the word a green industrial revolution twice. Johnson, he probably did that because of, you know, politicking and dog whistling to the Marxist climate changers, who again suffer from tremendous immaturity and arrested development and are stuck in a mindset of a 19-year-old. For many of them, forgivably so, because they are 19. Johnson foresees a future in which every home in Britain relies on wind power. Yeah, forget your career as an opera singer or a violinist or as an entrepreneur. You're going to be working in a factory building windmills. So Johnson foresees a future in which every home in Britain relies on wind power. And then it's in brackets, he certainly produces a lot of that. Quote, instead of being dragged on big commutes to the city, Johnson's doing what he does best here. He's a campaigner, he's a salesman, he's selling this idea, this vision. And part of that is to say, your commute is shit. You're not going to have to do that anymore. And instead of being dragged on big commutes to the city, people can, quote, start a business in their hometown and bring up their children in the neighborhoods where they grew up themselves. working from home is here to stay, with gigabit broadband, shopping from home, conferencing from home. In fact, let's do everything from home. And I think part of this as well is to weaken the social fiber and fabric of the country, because people are, you know, people are naturally very, very social creatures. Some people more than others. I'm about half and half. If I have too much socializing in my life, I start to feel off-centered. If I'm on my own for too much, I start to feel off-centered. So I'm kind of like half introvert, half, you know, extrovert, maybe. Like, I'm probably a little bit more on the introvert side. But for a lot of people, I don't know why those are the right words, introvert or extrovert or social or antisocial. But for a lot of people, the lack of, you know, continuous and regular socializing and interaction with other people, including physically, including seeing their faces as well, is imperative and is vital and is absolutely necessary for their well-being, for their minds and their spiritual and their health generally. I'm loath to use the word mental health because I don't like that term. That's another whole pile of nonsense as well, in many ways, that whole thing. But you're really going to get the flack for coming out against that. But anyway, it's not so much even that I don't like the term mental health. I just know that the whole mental health industry has been designed to get people dependent on the state, to get them on benefits, to get them feeling that they need the state. It creates dependency. It gets people on antidepressants. It gets people going to counselors. It gets people in a mindset that they can't cope with their own lives, that there's nothing they can do for themselves, and that they must always have a counselor. This is aberrant in the history of the West as well. People used to just soldier on, get on with things. They didn't need counselors or antidepressants or whatever. Of course, again, Christianity was much stronger, so the church played a bigger role, and the church was much more like the church rather than just, I don't know, a joke. Working from home was here to stay, said, okay, and not that there would be anywhere to meet, the writer says, with pubs, cinemas, and theaters all closed down due to the never-ending coronavirus restrictions. And it's also interesting to me that the pubs have taken a hit. The pubs in this country particularly are somewhere where really the kind of the working classes, but not just the working classes, just where people, real people, come together. And after a few drinks, the inhibitions go down. The fear goes down of the political correctness. The self-censorship diminishes after two or three pints with a lot of people, and they start to say what they really think. Ideas can spread in pubs. Pubs, of course, being, you know, short for public houses. And ideas and socialism and community spirit can grow in pubs. So it is interesting to me that they've really, despite there being no evidence for the spread of this virus in pubs, that they have made a particular effort to target the pubs. And the pubs really are, in this country, and have been, I mean, it's less so over the years, and I don't think that's by accident either, but they are the backbone of the social structure of the country, of England and Northern Ireland, right across the UK. Probably a lot more so than a lot of countries. In other countries, it's, you know, it's maybe more dining. But in this country, the pub is part of our culture. And it is a place where that sort of human spirit and the British spirit and the Irish spirit is sort of cultivated, and people talk and ideas and they share things. And of course, this is replaced to some extent by social media, but it's not the same. The article goes on, Johnson pledged to make Britain, quote, the greatest place on earth, unquote. But to me, it sounds more like hell. The question, as ever, is who benefits, of course. And Britain is already a police state. And it has given up so much ground over the years and over the decades that it's a tragedy to me that this next step is not shocking for so many people. But they don't care. Oh, so what? You know, universal basic income's great. Oh, okay, we'll get money straight from the central bank. They don't understand that they're being bribed. They don't understand what the consequences are. They're not reading the small print here of what Satan has to offer. As the scripture said, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, if only Satan came with his big horns and his pitchfork and was revealing his true scary self, then it wouldn't be such a big problem. We could recognize him. The problem is most people haven't a clue. And again, sadly, including the church, don't seem to recognize Satan, who has come into the church and in many cases is doing the preaching from the pulpit. The World Economic Forum, founded by Schwab, has been incredibly influential when it comes to the changes we've already seen in 2020 and what has been openly planned for the future. It was the WEF which co-hosted the quote Event 201 conference in New York in October 2019, which modeled a fictional global pandemic. I don't even know about that, but it was the WEF's annual meeting in Davos on January 24th, 2020, that Bill Gates' Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovations held a press conference to announce a new partnership to develop vaccines for the virus, when the number of confirmed worldwide cases was still in the hundreds. It was the WEF's Schwab who declared in June, quote, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." And that's the way he talks. He literally is, and I've heard other people, you know, YouTubers and stuff, describe him as that, because he's literally like some James Bond character. He looks like it and he talks like it. You know, you're just waiting for, you know, Sean Connery to... Where is Sean Connery in all this? I mean, is this a James Bond movie? Is this just a James Bond movie, but there's no James Bond? "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, where you will be a little slave battery, completely under our control, where we will see everything that you do, that you say, every penny you spend, every moment you spend, with anybody you spend it with. Wherever you send it, and we will tell you when and what you can do and who with and where and when. And if you don't, then you might not eat. Or we might eventually get to the stage where we press a button and we cancel you because we have a little chip in there somewhere." Who the hell knows? I mean, this is where it's going. All these sci-fi movies. Literally, that's the next thing. Some people speculate, I don't know, that these vaccines are going to have technology in them. What if they've got the technology in them where they don't even bother like saying you can't shop? Well, they just like press a button on the central global computer and you just like the Matrix movie, they just switch you off. Gee, I mean, I jest, but I mean, this is where this stuff's going. I mean, this guy literally does. If you listen to him, he sounds like one of those characters in the James Bond movie, one of these psychopaths who like literally want to take over the world. It was the WEF that in July was promoting a COVID-19 health passport app, the brainchild of one of its young global leaders, as the future for travel and attending events. And there's a quote here on Twitter, Simon Dolan, who's had been suing the government and had no success from the judicial system and rejected his lawsuit. His tweet goes, "The World Economic Forum-backed project aims to create the first globally recognized proof that a passenger has tested negative for the virus before a flight using a digital certificate downloaded to a mobile phone." Conspiracy theorists, eh? That's what I mean. I mean, what I'm talking about where they press a button and sort of like you just sort of get, it's like they pull the plug on you in the Matrix. It's not that, we don't seem that far away from it. If you take a look at the founding partners of the WEF Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution, you'll see names such as Microsoft, Palantir, Facebook, Netflix, and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, founded by the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation. Yes, that's right. High-tech online giants and high-tech multi-billionaires supporting a big shift towards a stay-at-home, quote, do-everything-on-the-internet, unquote, society. As a convenient opportunity to introduce long-planned changes to the economy and society, when those pushing for such changes like Schwab openly talk of there being, quote, a rare but narrow window, unquote, for a major, quote, reset. Actually, after Johnson's speech yesterday, the biggest, quote, conspiracy theorists now are those who don't think the British government is working to another agenda. And that is from Lou Rockwell's, an article he did actually on the 8th of October, and it's titled, "As Boris Johnson Announces Great Reset, Were the COVID Conspiracy Theorists Right All Along?" It's an article by Neil Clark. And Lou Rockwell carries this article on his website, but it was actually published in RT, the Russian network, RT News website. And as I say, if you go to Real Vision, Raoul Powell, he has done a video in this last couple of days talking about the whole digital currency thing. And we're not talking here about, you know, transactions that you make, you know, on the internet necessarily. Like, we're all kind of operating digitally. This is a different kind of a thing. And it really doesn't encapsulate some of the, you know, areas where they are, you know, taking us in terms of economics. I think part of the worrying thing is that this money printing thing, this Keynesian economics thing, could carry on for a while yet without any collapse. But I think it'll come. But I mean, it's just it's a lot to sort of to digest. But yeah, it's he's a guy called Raoul Powell, and it's Real Vision. And, you know, in a way, that's quite scary, too, what he's talking about. Let me just find the name of it. Yeah, it's Real Vision Finance. And he talks about this whole concept of what's probably coming economically and the role, the increased role of the central banks. All right, folks, I will leave it there. I'll be back with you again next Wednesday. I will be live on Beyond the Official Narrative with my colleague Richard Carey tomorrow night on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, from 1 p.m. Central Time 1 p.m. Eastern Time, which is midday, till 1 Central Time, 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Here in London, England. And I will be live there. So do join me there. Until then, take care, and I'll be back here again same time next week. Goodbye. Good night, and God bless.